Tonight, we look at that part of the portion which we have just read in 1 Kings 18 and the verses 19 to 21, where Elijah says this, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Amen. We have seen from our studies that Elijah has taken charge by God's command, his representative in all things to the church. These are affairs of the Church of Christ upon earth. And Ahab, as the representative of civil government, had neither part nor lot in the matter. The keys of the kingdom of Christ were not given to civil rulers, but to those who have rule over the church. Ahab had no divine authority to interfere. Perhaps our preparations are now begun for one of the greatest scenes in scriptural history. The great Jehovah is about to show by signs and wonders and mighty deeds that he is God alone. Isaiah 46, 8 to 10, remember this, "And show yourselves men, bring it again to the mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Daniel could say, chapter 2, 20 to 22, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." Isaiah could, by inspiration, write, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." And Galatians 6 and 7 tells us, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Israel had sown seeds of rebellion against God. She had shown unbelief of truth, contempt for righteousness. She had set up idols to worship Baal and reaped a corrupt harvest in the form of drought and famine sent by the hand of God, who visited his wrath upon them. But even in his wrath, he displays mercy towards them. He could have left them to their own devices, unto eternal judgment, as he does the reprobate. He hardened Pharaoh's heart that he would not let Israel go, and that ended in his eternal destruction. On another occasion, Israel made a golden calf, intending to worship it, and he, that is Aaron, received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This was just another occurrence, and there were many, where they forsook the true and living God in their disobedience. Those who repented and forsook their sin were forgiven. Those who continued in their idolatry were put to the sword. Verses 26 to 28, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. "Who is on the Lord's side? Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. How long halt ye between two opinions?" The message is the same throughout the whole of the scriptures and the whole of history. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. As Elijah stands before the people of Israel, he does not accuse them of intemperance or covetousness or frivolity. He did not reprimand Ahab in respect of his or his wife's unchaste life or their immoral behavior. No, these are all serious sins. And as we know from our shorter catechism, sin is the want of conformity unto or the transgression of the law of God. And our confession of faith, chapter 15, 4 states, "As there is no sin so small but it deserves damnation, so there is no sin so great that it can bring damnation upon those who truly repent." All sin is serious, and Ahab's sins were heinous in the sight of God. But as God's inspired prophet, Elijah represents them all in these words: "Ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." You have forsaken the law of God. You have forsaken the word of God. You have departed from truth and righteousness. You have ignored and thwarted the great privilege that this nation has enjoyed throughout its history, and committed spiritual adultery with Balaam, and become the partakers of multi-faith religion. For this sin, the great and glorious God of heaven has visited his wrath upon cities and countries, and shown his displeasure, destroying them by fire and brimstone and the sword. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember Nineveh. Remember Pharaoh and his charioteers. All destroyed because of their sin and rebellion against God. All destroyed because they forsook the commandments and followed after false gods. But what about the nation? This nation, this United Kingdom. Her greatness arose from her adherence and obedience to the word of God. False religion outlawed, popery and Mohammedism extirpated from involvement or from holding positions of authority in the land. The Westminster Standards, including the Confession of Faith, were published as law in our Parliament. And the government swore by oath to uphold the principles of the Solemn League and Covenant. This act, obligating the peoples of the nations of England, Scotland and Ireland to uphold those principles unto this day, and covenanting to uphold Christ as King over the nation, and the only King and Head of the church. What have we become? Are we not a nation of idolaters and evildoers? Are we not a nation who have forsaken the commandments of God and have followed after false gods? Our constitution still contains the same persecuting acts of Parliament used against our covenanting forefathers in an effort to destroy true biblical Presbyterianism. Our Queen bears the title as head of the Church of England. Her son Charles, the next heir to the throne, promotes multi-faith, saying that there are many ways to God and praising the religion of Islam, the most violent religion upon this earth. Let it be known and shouted abroad that those who promote Islam by violence are the true Islamists. They follow the example of their false prophet Muhammad, for he put to the sword all who failed to comply with his newly found religious tenets. My God, may God preserve us from a third and godless King Charles upon the throne of this land. For he will, like Ahab, promote multi-faith and false religion. Yes, we have become a nation following after materialism, immorality, sensuality, sexuality. Anything goes, and everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. If ever a nation was ripe for destruction, surely our nation is right now. We cannot continue as we are. We deserve to be wiped from the face of this earth. We have quoted Matthew 11:20-22 before, and we do so again. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. In the midst of all this confusion and mayhem, let us all be true watchmen like Elijah. Let us give warning unto those who rebel against the word of God. Let us alert those who reject his commandments. Let us shout from the rooftop that it beholds all men everywhere to repent of their sin, to turn from the wrath of God and from a lost eternity in hell. Elijah attends unto his duty. Like Ezekiel, God has instructed him in his duties and responsibilities. Ezekiel 3:17-19. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from the wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Elijah will not have the blood of rebellious Israel upon his hands, but gives faithful warning to them, to the priests of Baal and to Ahab. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Ahab had obeyed Elijah's instructions. and gathered the people of Israel and 450 of the prophets of Baal to the scene of this challenge. It would appear that the prophets of the grove who were employed to attend unto Jezebel were not present, probably because she, in her rebellious arrogance and pride, had prevented them from doing so. For in verse 22, Elijah counts only 450 as being present. But why did Ahab obey the commands of Elijah? Why did he send to the chief representatives of the people to gather Israel to Mount Carmel? Why did he gather 450 of the prophets of Baal to the same location? It is evident that he had little regard for Elijah, nor did he have any attachment to him. Doubtless he in some way respected his character and the influence that he had displayed in the past. But these are hardly reasons for him as king of Israel to be seen to exercise obedience and be intimidated by a commoner such as Elijah. Well, firstly, he hadn't his prompter Jezebel with him and was without her influence. It is quite obvious from other incidents in the life of Ahab that he was like putty in her hands, that she wore the trousers, as we would say in these days. We only have to look at the incident of Naboth's vineyard to see how she molded him. He was evil in his own right, but like all bullies, when confronted by someone who is unafraid of him, Ahab was less sure of himself. Secondly, perhaps he feared Elijah would execute immediate judgment upon him if he offended him further. He may have brought to remembrance the words of Joshua to Achan in Joshua 7 and 25. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day, so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Again, like all bullies, he was really gutless at heart. Thirdly, he knew that Elijah would not be intimidated or browbeaten or coerced by him, and probably hoped that he would bring an end to the famine he had placed upon Israel. He was therefore induced to comply with the demands of the prophet. And fourthly, he may have been utterly convinced in his own mind that Baal would prevail and win the day. When a man is on the slippery slope of rebellion and unbelief, there is no limit to the depths of depravity to which he will plunge if he is not arrested by the Spirit of God. All of these things were brought about in the mind of Ahab by the providence of God, who predestinates all things after the counsel of his own will and determines them accordingly. For he saith to Moses, "I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Whilst God displays mercy by way of common grace to all sinners, he will not permit any sin to go unpunished. The guilt of the sins of his people has been laid upon Christ, who has paid their debt and suffered in their room and in their stead. He has set them free from the punishment of their sin, and by the imputation of his righteousness has declared them justified by an act of God's free grace. They are declared sinless in the sight of God, but the reprobate. And Ahab was reprobate. He was elected unto damnation, or as some would prefer, left in a sin or passed by. It makes no difference, for he rejected the offers of mercy made to him in the gospel. He rejected Christ as the only redeemer of God's elect, turned to false religion, and now faces defeat and spiritual destruction at the hand of Elijah the prophet of the true and living God. Ezekiel's words in chapter 5:5-6 could be applied to Ahab and the people of Israel yet again. Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. And she hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are around about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes, and they have not walked in them. There is nothing new under the sun. And we find time and time again the sinfulness of fallen man repeated. He never learns. His heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In his fallen state, he cannot help himself and accept grace intervenes, and he is arrested by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has no hope. So one generation follows after the one before it in the manifestation of the practice of wickedness. And surely the threatened wrath of God against Jerusalem in chapter 5:11 can be applied to Ahab and Israel, and even to ourselves. Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things, and with all thine abomination, therefore I will diminish thee, neither shall mine eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. Oh, you may say, with Ahab, how have we defiled the sanctuary of God? And the answer may be given to such as say this. You have defiled it with your own inventions, with the use of man-made hymns, and with the use of the Romish idol in worship, that is, the organ and other instruments of music. The church has become a place of entertainment, and the word of God is pushed aside to make way for all sorts of abominations. And the leaders in the churches are silent, for they are complicit in it. Was this not what C.H. Spurgeon meant when he said, a time will come when instead of the shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. Ahab, at Elijah's command, has gathered all Israel, along with the prophets of Baal, to Mount Carmel. And Elijah addresses them, verse 21 of our text. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The people are challenged in relation to their unbelief and their rebellion against God. How long halt ye between two opinions? This, the metaphor or figure of speech here in the words halt ye is taken from the unequal walk of a lame person. The same term is used in Hebrews 12 verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way? Why do you walk so lamely and unevenly? Why do you not make straight paths with your feet? Why are you so unsteady in your opinions and practices? It is obvious from Elijah's challenge that many of the people wavered in their judgment and were varied in their practice, sometimes worshipping Jehovah and at other times worshipping Baal, sometimes making a coalition between both, doubting and not knowing which way to turn. Here we have a people who are destroyed through lack of knowledge, who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If the Lord be God, follow him, worship him and him alone, and do it according as he has commanded in such a place and in a manner prescribed by him, and not through your own inventions of calves and idols. But if it be Baal, then prove that he is supreme in his being, or let him prove that he rules over all. The question whether Jehovah be God or Baal be God will be answered emphatically, leaving no room for doubt. The answer will be given by Elijah, even though he will be the vessel used in the preparations to be made. The answer will be given by Jehovah himself. He will prove himself, not by persuasion, but by a miracle, leaving no room for any doubt. He will call his people to separate from Baal and from evildoers, and he will command them, as in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Let us be cautious and attentive to the worship of God. Let us always be increasing in the knowledge of doctrine, seeking a closer walk with Christ. Let us not be like the Pharisees, of whom Christ said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Let us keep our eyes upon Christ, trusting him and him alone for salvation. For he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Elijah prepared to do battle for Jehovah, and what a one-sided battle it turned out to be, as we shall see in our next study.